We're holding on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the third line. And we're in the middle of discussing this whole matter of Pesach versus Charata, the two mechanisms by which a neder can be canceled. We said that Pesach is really the better one, because when there's a Pesach, it means in effect that the person realizes that his whole neder was wrong, was wrong in the first place. They shouldn't have made it because it's going to have such and such consequences. As opposed to Charata, it's true we say it has to be Charata Meikara, that he has to regret retroactively that he made it, but nevertheless, that doesn't really constitute saying that the neder itself was mistaken. I regret that I was angry or whatever, and therefore I said the neder, but not necessarily the neder itself was mistaken. So we've been bringing different opinions of Tanoim and Amoraim on the subject of whether you could even use Charata as a basis for Ataras Nedarim, or whether specifically you need to use Pesach. And we discussed there may be, sometimes you might have things that are sort of in between, better than Charata, but worse than Pesach. I mentioned yesterday, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions because of these different opinions about using Charata, therefore, what a Beis Din will try to do when a person is Matir Neder nowadays, they'll use the Charata itself to create a Pesach. They'll say to him, if you knew when you made this Neder that you're likely to regret it, would you have made the Neder? And when he says that not, then that itself forms a Pesach. That itself is kind of a side effect, but that itself is not really a side effect, a consequence of the neder that he hadn't thought of, and therefore that becomes a basis for being matarit. So we've been giving different examples of different chachamim who would use a Pesach or Charata respectively. So here's another one. Bar Brate de Rav Yanai Sava, the grandson of Rav Yanai Sava, or on the side over here it says Rav Yanai Rabba, the great Rav Yanai, whatever. Anyway, Osor Kameh de Rav Yanai Sava. He came to his grandfather, Rav Yanai Sava, with a neder. Omale, so Rav Yanai Sava, the Zayda, asks him, Ilu Hava Yadis, if you knew when you made this neder, the Poschen Pinkasach, that in Shemayim they will be opening up your notebook to see what kind of person you are, and check into your deeds. So when a person makes a neder, the Ran explains, think of it, when a person makes a neder, it means that he's in effect saying, I'm such a chassid, I won't be nichshol, I won't end up being over on my neder. So that causes, in a Shemayim, they start opening up the book and say, well, let's actually see. Is that in fact the case? Or is he the kind of person who's not so careful with his nedarim?
What difference does it make? I
mean, well, and a person would probably rather not have that Hashem is checking into his maisim and seeing whether he's really deserving of what he's getting. We always, you know, we often talk about the idea, for example, that, you know, a person doesn't want attention to be called to them in Shemayim, the Sotam Yanuchi Yeshavas, like we had last week's Haftorah, for example. You know, in general, you kind of want to fly under the radar when it comes to the Beis Din Shamayla, because if they start judging you, then, you know, they may find that you're not everywhere where you should be. Why is it starting to take place when he makes a neder?
He said, I'm going to make an neder X number of days. He breaks the neder, then...
Right, so the Rambam says the vote is, as soon as he makes the neder, it shows who machzik asma to chassid. It shows like he's showing himself off. Look what a chassid I am. So therefore, that causes them to start looking in Shemayim. Is he really such a chassid? The Rosh points out another reason as well. We learned earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to learn later on the Amud, that making a neder itself is a thing of rishus. We had in the first parak the expression, kinidre rishoyim, like the kind of nedarim that rishoyim make. And therefore, the very fact that he's making a neder is itself not something that he should really be doing. In fact, it's interesting, actually. There was a sicha of the Rebbe for Matos in Chelek Lama Dalad, where the Rebbe analyzes, it's a Rashi sicha, but in the course of that, the Rebbe analyzes, you have three different statements of Chazal as far as Nedarim. You have ones where it implies that making a neder is sometimes a good thing, where a person needs it to control himself, where without that he can't control himself. Then you have, so the Rambam summarizes that sometimes you have a person makes a neder for a good purpose. We have the example earlier in Arma Sechta, for example, that boy who came to Shimon HaTzadik having declared Nezidos in order to break his Yetzirah. Then on the other hand, the Rambam says, but in general a person should do without that. And then you have elsewhere in Hilchos Day, if he needs to, he should aser himself without a neder at all. Just say, just make up in his own mind that he won't. And then you have in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam says that the person shouldn't even be asering himself things that are mutter to him. Just whatever Hashem asked him to you is fine. You don't need to go beyond that. The Rambam actually brings that third one, it's Yerushalmi, further on in our sugya over here. So that explains that there are actually three different levels that a person might be on. There might be a level where, in fact, he's fighting with his Yetzirah, and the only way to break it is with a neder. Then you have a person reaches a higher level where he doesn't need a neder for that. And then you have the highest level of all, where he doesn't need to deprive himself of anything that's mutter, because he already knows how to use these things for Kedusha. But here, when the person is making a neder, so based on that explanation of the Rebbe, not always when a person makes a neder is it a bad thing. Sometimes he's doing it because that's the level that he's on. But nevertheless, we're saying a person has to be very careful with that. It may cause that they start checking in Shemayim. Anyway, so Rabbi Yannai asked his grandson, if you knew that, mina dauta, would you have made the neder? Omloi loi, so the grandson said no. Mishaya and Rabbi Yannai Sava was able to be matur neder on that basis. Omer Rab Abba Maikra, so Rab Abba says, where was a pasuk that expresses that point, where we see that, in fact, that when a person makes a neder, they start checking on him in Shemayim. The pasuk says, "Va'acha nedarim levakir," and after nedarim, there is checking, implying that after a person makes a neder, they start checking on him. After they start checking on him in Shemayim to see what kind of person he is. But the Gemara says, now Rabbi Yannai held that is a valid Pesach to begin with. That consequence of the neder, that when you make a neder, it causes the base in Shamayla to start checking into you. We're saying Rabbi Yannai used that, but anan like paschin and lebaha. But we, in later times, are not allowed to use that kind of thing as a basis for a Pesach, for a Neder, because with that and a few other things that the Gemara is going to discuss over here, the problem is your average Yid, Taka, does not want to be in trouble with the Beis Din Shamayla and several other things that we're going to say over here. So what's going to happen? If you ask a person, did you know that they're going to be opening up your notebooks and start checking into what kind of person you are, the average Yid is going to say, you know what, I don't want that. And then he's going to say, I regret the neder, even though maybe he doesn't really regret it, because he's not going to be so chutzpahdik as to say, you know what, I don't care. Let him check through my pinkas. I'm sure that I'm in good shape. So therefore, so you have the opposite problem over here. You're going to make him, you're going to induce him to say that I'm regretting the neder, when really he doesn't regret it, just because he's not going to have the break type. He's not going to have the chutzpah to say, I don't care. Let him check through my pinkas. So therefore, so that kind of thing is going too far with trying to find a Pesach, and therefore we can't. So Rabbi Yannai held you can do it, but La Halacha we hold you can't do that. The Loy Paschin and Bahado Achronaisa. Similarly, there are several other ones that we also can't use. Here's another one that we can't use. The Amar Rav Babachana Amar Rav Yechanan. My Pesach Le Ram Gamliel Lahu Sava. There's a story in the Sechta Eruvin. There's a whole story over there where Ram Gamliel is traveling along the road. They meet up with a goy. They have a whole, there's bread on the ground. And we learn from that, you're not allowed to walk by when there's bread on the ground. You have to pick it up and so on and so forth. Anyway, in the course of the story over there, there was a guy who came to Ram Gamliel to be Matur Neder. And Ram Gamliel began by quoting him the pasuk, Yesh Boitek, the whole pasuk goes, Yesh Boitek Matur Eschorev. There is someone who speaks like the piercing of a sword, or the shoin chachamim maute, but the tongue of the chachamim heals, or brings healing, which means the word boite means to speak, like ya bitois fasayim, when a person speaks out a neder. So kola boite, when a person speaks out a neder, roi le doikre becherev, he deserves to be pierced with a sword, because again, we're saying that making a neder, unless a person really, really needs it in order to control himself, is not a good thing. Ela l'shoyn chachamim marpei, but the tongue of the chachamim, where he goes to the chachamim and their matur neder, marpei is a healing for it, because they show him how he can be, because they're matur neder for him, and therefore they remove the consequences.
So, teach him how to control himself.
Teach him how to control himself in the future, right. The point is, in other words, that again, if you tell that to the average person, that's going to scare him into saying, you know what, then I shouldn't have made that neder in the first place. But really, he may not be regretting the neder at all. He may just be, your average person is going to say, What, you're telling me it's like a piercing of a sword, I deserve to be pierced with a sword, then I shouldn't have made that neder. But he doesn't really sincerely believe that. So all these things, that's the point, in other words, we're saying, you can't scare the person too much. If you tell him something that's such a severe consequence of a neder, then the average person is likely to say, then in that case, I regret the neder, even though he doesn't truly regret it. We have to remember, we discussed yesterday that when it comes, first of all, we have Tanoim and Amoroim who said you can't even use Charota anyway, you need a Pesach. You need a consequence of the neder. But anyway, even if we say you can use charota, we said it has to be charota meikara, that I regret that I ever made the neder, not charota from now on. Obviously, the Ran said, we learned yesterday, the very fact that he's coming to a chacham to mat the neder shows from now on he doesn't want to keep the neder. The question is, did he want the neder to begin with? But if you tell him one of these severe consequences, such as this matter of that they open up your book in Shemayim and start leafing through it, or such as we're saying over here, a person who makes a neder deserves to be pierced with a sword, then when he says that I'm the scharet, he may not really mean it. He may only be saying it out of fear of what you just told him.
No, but that's the purpose.
No, but that's the point. We're saying we're going too far with that. We're going too far. You have to tell him some other kind of consequence where, yeah, he can, some other kind of Pesach. Some, for example, we said yesterday, let's say the last one that we had yesterday was, for example, this woman who had made a neder that her daughter can't have enough from her. So they pointed out a side of it. They pointed out a consequence of it. People are going to think that your daughter did something really terrible. So fine. That's not the kind of thing that's going to scare a person. She might say, okay, you know what, I'm mad at my daughter, let them think whatever they want about her. So some people will think that way, some people will think the other way. We don't want something where automatically a person is going to say, there's a sword involved over here that I'm miscarried. And he's really not. So we can't use that. Marshall, by the way, point. The simple meaning of the pasuk, right, is not talking about nedarim at all. Mufoshim on the pasuk explained. It's talking about, for example, a person who speaks lashon hara about somebody else, and on the other hand, you speak lashon chachamim. You speak like a chachamim. You're not doing lashon hara, then that's a healing, sure. But we're understanding it that it can mean as far as nedarim. In fact, Marsha points out the word boite, again, when lashon mivta, lashon speaking, suggests something that a person says kind of superficially. Like I mean, asof of alachot. Like he's only saying it from with his lips, but not really intending it. And then lashon chachamim refers to the actual way the chachamim speak, where they help them show that they help them show that it was wrong in doing that. In fact, Mao Shob says, so we learned earlier, we said before, one way of being Matan Neder was you ask him, Libach Allah, was your heart with you? Did you sincerely mean it at the time? Or do you still have the same mentality now that you did then? So we see that the Chachamim are focusing not just on the outside, not just on the Chitzonius, but rather on the lave. So that can be described with the word Losha in the tongue, where as opposed to speaking, which suggests more the Chitzonius of the mouth. The point is that, again, Rabban Gamliel held you can use that, but we don't hold that you can use that. That's not a valid way of making a Pesach for a neder. And the Loik Maschin and Bahadrach are nicer. Here's another one that we can't use. The Tanya of Nasan Omer, and Noidir Ki'ilu Bona Bum. When a person makes a neder, it's as if he built a bum during the time when bummers are also. Vamakaima Ki'ilu Hikru Volav Korban, and if he fulfills the neder rather than going and being Matu Neder, then it's as if he offered a korban on it. What's the comparison? The Ran says, you think about it, a person makes a bummer during the time when bummers are also, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. He thinks, look, I'm bringing a korban to Hashem. He thinks, wow, I'm making myself a place to bring a korban to Hashem, and I'm bringing a korban. He doesn't realize that's a very severe aveira. We find actually throughout Sefer Melachim, over and over it says, even during the times of the good kings of Yehuda, over and over it says, Rakom mezabchum mekatrim babamos, that people are still continuing to bring korbanos on bamos, because it took all the way down until the time of Chizkiyahu and later Yeshayahu to finally stop that once and for all. Because you had many people for hundreds of years thought, they rationalized to themselves, look, it's too hard to get to the Beis Hamikdash, maybe Hashem doesn't mind if I bring a korban someplace else, and I'm accomplishing a mitzvah by it, and so on and so forth, and they didn't realize that there's a problem. So the same way over here, a person makes a neder, he thinks that he's doing something good, he doesn't realize that actually Hashem would prefer that he doesn't make a neder. Now, if he goes and fulfills the korban, then he's doing even more. Then he's compounding his mistake. that he's actually bringing a korban on it, that instead of going to a chacham to try to be matter neder.
He's holding out the whole time.
He's fighting off his yetzahara. So now, finally, if you have, let's say again, you had, you know, like that story of the boy with Shimon ben Shattach is one thing. But most of the time, when a person makes a neder, the situation is he could have controlled himself without a neder. That's what we're saying before. The Rambam describes at the end of Hilchos Nedarim. Look, if a person needs the neder, you know, his poshetis, his yetzahara is running away with him and there's no choice. Fine. Sometimes a neder is an emergency prescription for that. But most people shouldn't need that. Most people should be able to ask for themselves without a neder. The Ram brings over here also the expression from the Yerushalmi that says that, you don't think it's enough the things the Torah asks of you, you're trying to make new Isurim for yourself. So there's that consideration also. Just before you came in, we were talking about, actually, yeah, we were saying before, yeah, you heard about the Sikha, where the Rebbe discusses the three different levels that a person might be on, right?
We're talking here about that. What happens if he says, I'm going to use a Shvu instead? Is that better?
A Shvu is actually, in a way, worse. We said before, Shvu's Shav is, a Shvu's Shav is more severe. A Neder Shav, we learned the other day, that Adam says maybe even there's no Isra, I'm making a Neder Shav, it's just over on Bal Yachad. So yeah, Shvu is not really anything better. We're going to talk about a Shvu, we're going to talk about Shvu's on Amud Beis, though, more, yeah.
The
Hamakaim means that he fulfills the Neder rather than going and being Matu Neder.
So why should it be a worse situation?
So that's worse because, in other words, having made the neder, he should think to himself, you know what? I shouldn't have made this neder. Let me go to a chacham and be matir neder. Instead, he figures that I'm...
The time doesn't mean that he completed the neder.
Yeah, no, it means that he actually fulfilled. He did what he was supposed to. He kept this food off limits to him.
Whatever. He kept the 30 days.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. Yeah.
So that's bad.
So we're saying that's bad because he should have, having made the neder, he should be rethinking to himself, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. I did that in the heat of the moment or something. Let me go to a chacham and let him find me a charata or a pesach. Yeah.
I thought that was a good thing, that if you finally made neder and you hold it out, it's positive.
Well, obviously the worst thing would be to break the neder, but we're saying the better thing, we actually had a machlokas about this between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda related to this earlier in the Masechta. What's the better thing, to not make a neder in the first place or to make a neder and fulfill it? So here, Rav Nosson is saying that fulfilling it is also bad. What you should be doing is going to a rav to be matir neder.
You could have people saying, "Oh, you know, I'll make a neder, and then if I can't handle it, I'll go to a rav and ask him to do."
Right. So you were saying it's not even a matter of if I can't handle it to begin with, you should be going right. So the Gemara says bereisha paschinan. Now, one way of looking at it is we can certainly begin with the beginning of that, telling a person. We can tell him, "Did you realize when you made this neder that it's like building a bomb?" Now, it's true that building a bomber is usur, but after all, there's no chiyuv kares in it yet. Just building a bomber, if a person just builds a big platform in his backyard, that itself doesn't make him chiyuv kares yet, only when he brings karbonis on it. So if you use the beginning of that as a basis, that's fine. That won't scare the person so much. It's not such a big avera. He's not going to be embarrassed to say the truth. You know what? I hear what you're saying, Rav, but nevertheless, I still think that I did a good thing by making that neder. So fine. So we can tell him that first part. The safer. What about the second part? To say that if you fulfill it, it'll be like bunga korbanan, which is a severe iser. Then Abaya amar paschinan, Rava amar le paschinan. So now Abaya says we can even use that part. So we said before the Gemara started by saying v'loy paschinan v'hador achranaisa, but that's not according to everybody. Abaya would say that actually you could use both parts of it. Yes, the chacham or the beis din can tell the person, do you realize Rav Nosson tells us that if you make a neder and then you fulfill it, it's as if you built a bomb and brought a korban on it, do you still want to go ahead with the neder, or do you want to be matir neder? And we don't assume, Abaya says, that he's going to be embarrassed to say, you know what, then I wouldn't have made the neder, when really he's not embarrassed. Abaya is not concerned about that. Rava Omer, like Paschinan, whereas Rava says you can't, because he says, the Reisha, if you say, tell him that what you did is like building a bomber, fine. A person is going to say, okay, so I built a bomber, big deal. But you tell him what you just did is like bringing Korbanos outside of the Mishmikdash. That's a much more serious thing. He may be embarrassed to say, well, you know what, I don't care about that either. He may say, out of embarrassment, that in that case, I regret the neder, when really he doesn't. That's the point of this whole sugya, is we have things where a person might say, just because he doesn't want to, in front of other people, he's embarrassed to say such and such. But really, in his heart, he doesn't think any differently. That's one version.
But that's the way, not really... The Charles Chacham, but not really doing the truth, so it's a fake Charles Chacham.
Well, so in other words, what happens is, let's say, so you might have, imagine you have the person who made the neder, he was fulfilling it until now. Now he decides, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to have to continue fulfilling it. for whatever reason. So again, we said that kind of charota is no good. It has to be charota meikara. So we want to make sure that we're not inducing him to say something which is charota meikara, which he doesn't really believe. Of course, he's coming to the Chacham, he wants to be matter neder from now on, but that's not good enough. We need something that will be matter the neder meikara. So yeah. Okay. Now that's one version. Rav Kahana Masni la Lahoshmaita Bahadein Lishna. So Rav Kahana learnt this discussion, this machlokas, Abaya and Rava, in that way. So everybody agreed that you can tell the person that what you did by making the neder is like building a bummer. The machlokas says, can you tell him that fulfilling the neder is like bringing a korban? Abaya says yes, Rava says no. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hochi, but Rav Tavyumi learnt the discussion differently. The sefer like paschinan, that you definitely cannot use the sefer, because to tell him what you're going to do if you fulfill this neder is like bringing a korban on a bama, that the person is going to be embarrassed to say, well, I don't care, so I'll bring a korban on a bama, big deal. So he may falsely say that he regrets it meikara when really he didn't. The machlokes is bereisha. Can we use the first part to tell him that what you did is like building a bama? True that building a bummer is not that severe an issue, but still, with the average yid, the question is, the average yid, if you told him what you just did is like building a bummer, would he say, I don't care, or would he, out of embarrassment, say, I do care? So Abaya Omer Paschina, and Abaya says you can use the beginning of Rav Nosson's statement, Rav Omer like Paschina, and Rav says you can't. V'hochsa like Paschina, liberation of a Leibaseifa. The halacha is you can't use either part. So when the Gemara started out, the loy paschinan, but bahadah achranaisa, that was the sum of the Gemara, is the conclusion that now we've reached, according to Rav Tamyumi's version of Abaya and Rava's machlokas, the result is you can't use any part of Rav Nosson's statement when you're trying to be matur neder. At least the Chacham can. Now maybe, it's possible that maybe if the person himself comes and says to the Chachamim, you know, I just found out this statement of Rav Nosson, and now because of that I regret Meikara, maybe that would be better, yeah. Okay, here's another one. The Loi Paschin and Bahon Nami de Shmuel. We also cannot use the following statement from Shmuel as the basis for our Taras Nedarim. Shmuel says that even when a person makes a neder, even if he ends up fulfilling it, he's still called a rosha. And Rav Abahu says, where's a pasuk where we see that concept? The pasuk says, v'chisech dal linder, the pasuk says, if you hold back from making nedarim, lo yiyah b'chochet, then there won't be sin in you. So first of all, the simple meaning of the pasuk just means, in other words, you shouldn't think you have to make nedarim. Yes, if you make a neder, then you have to do something about it. You can't just transgress it. Moses, Fosas, Nechotishma, Vasisa, and all that. But the pasuk says, "Chisech dal linder." If you hold, don't think that you have to make nedarim. If you hold back from nedarim, lo yiyah b'chochet, there's no aveira in you because there's nothing wrong with not making nedarim. So now, but it means more than that, Shmuel says, or Rabbi Bohu says, V'yolef chodla chodla. We learn a gzera shava on the shodash chodal, which means to hold back. K'sivach k'sach dal linder, o'ch'tivashim sham b'shoyim chodlu roigez. There, this is a pasuk in Iyo, he's talking about in the grave, when a person is dead, there the b'shoyim stop their anger. So we see that the shodash chodal, and it has to do with Rishoyim and with anger. So we see, in other words, now we have a different dimension of the pasuk. If you hold back from making nedarim, there won't be a sin in you. And the flip side is also true. If you do nedarim, then there's a sin in you. Then a person is branded a rasha, because then we compare it with the pasuk in Iyo. So therefore, so again, but we can't use that as a basis for Kataras Nedarim, because again, if the Beis Din says to a person, do you realize that by making the neder, even though you're fulfilling it, you call the Rosha, is the average person going to say, okay, so let them call me a Rosha, I don't care. Out of embarrassment, he's going to say, you know what, then I wouldn't have made the neder. But he doesn't really sincerely believe it in his heart. At most, he believes, the neder till now was fine, but now it's getting to be a hassle and I want to be Matzah Neder, and that's no good. Amr Rav Yosef Afanan Nami Tanena. Rav Yosef says, in fact, we learn a Mishnah Udi or Armasekta that makes that same point as Shmuel, because we said Kinidre Kshere Mayomakum. We learned in the first parak that if a person says I want to make a neder like the nedarim of ksherim, of tzaddikim, then what he said is no good, because ksherim don't make nedarim out of anger or haste or whatever like that. Kenidri reshoyim, but if he says like the nedarim of reshoyim, then it means nedarim and nazir of a korban of a shvua, then depending what loshen he says next, it can be that he accepted on himself nazirus, or a korban, or something to be also like a korban, or a shvua, depending on the loshen he used. So we see that reshoyim are the type to do, not really reshoyim, out reshoyim, but still regarding this particular issue, we call them reshoyim, and we see that they're the kinds who make nedarim like that. So that point that Shmuel is saying, that a person making a neder is branded as a rasha, is actually, we see that in the Mishnah. We don't even need, we have Rabbi Bohu's limud from Sukkim. We see it more clearly in a Mishnah in Amasef. Anyway, the point is, again, we're saying we can't use that as a Pesach. Okay, since we're talking about anger, so a Pesach, you can use something where a person is not necessarily gonna say that I regret it out of embarrassment. So again, there can be charata where you just
never be sure of that.
Well, so once enough. So what it is though, we figure what the average person would do. Look, dvarim shabalei v'enim dvarim. If the person is gonna be fooling the Beis Din and claiming that he regrets it beikara, and really he doesn't, then look, you know, Beis Din can't help that. But we have to at least try to do what we can. So therefore, so what we do is, so we have examples from before. So if we say we can use charata, then we had a couple of tanoim and amiroim who say, for example, we can ask him, libach aloch, were you in your right mind when you made this neder? Or libach aloch, we said, can also mean, do you still have the same mentality now that you did then? Either way, the point is, in other words, are you mischaret or not? And then if he says yes, then that can be a valid basis. If he says that I'm mischaret, meikara, then that can be a valid basis for being matir neder. If we say that charata works, if we say that you need pesach, then we had some examples. We had the example about the way Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yosi tells him if there were 10 people there to talk you out of it. So according to the Ran, that was like halfway between a pesach and a charata. And according to the Rosh, that was a full pesach, because it's reasonable enough to assume that 10 people might come and talk him out of it. And that's not the kind of thing a person might well say. I don't care how many people tell me. Still, I'm sticking to my neder. So therefore, that's not the kind of thing where we say automatically, out of embarrassment, he's likely to change his mind.
Yeah, well, it's 10 people, and then there is embarrassment.
There's a certain, but not so much. Not compared to, for example, a person being told that they're going to be checking on his mice and shamayim, or that he deserves to be pierced with a sword, or whatever. And then we have other examples. We had that example with the woman and her daughter, where we tell her, do you realize people are going to think very badly of your daughter? So again, that's the kind of thing. Some people might say, you know what, that's true. Other people might equally well say, you know what, I don't care. I'm so angry at her. So therefore, those are not the kind of things. Those are not the kind of things where we assume that necessarily, because you say it to him, they're automatically going to say, I mean, it's got it, but they might not. That's good enough. So now let's talk a little bit about anger. The Gemara says, because after all, we're saying that, for example, that we just mentioned Shom Rishoyim Chodlu Roigas, and in general, we're talking about that very often when a person makes a neder is because he's angry. He had at the bottom of Kofala from a base, for example. One of the examples was that a person came to Rabbi Lozer to be Matir Neder, and when he asks him, do you want to keep the neder, or did you want the neder until now? And he says, if they hadn't provoked me, I wouldn't have made the neder. So we see that often in the Darim, a person is provoked, a person is made angry, and therefore he jumps and makes a neder. So now let's talk about that. Omer of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omer of Yenison. Kol HaKoyes, a person who gets angry, kol mine gehenim shoten boy. All types of gehenim dominate him. Because, the Ran explains, anger causes the person to be kofa be'ikr. It causes them to deny that Hashem runs the world. We have the Alter Rebbe explains in detail in Igeres Chokhei, in Tanya, because the person at that time thinks that Hashem is not running the world, otherwise he would realize that what just happened to him is min hashamayim. So therefore, to a certain extent, he becomes a kofa be'ikr, and therefore Gehenim starts having control over him. The Rosh gives two explanations. One is that the anger is very bad for him, so it's as if he was being judged and tormented with Gehenna. It causes himself getting angry causes him that kind of torment. And the other explanation is because then it leads him to other Averis, and then eventually he winds up in Gehenna as a result of that. Marshall points out, B'chlal, I mean, anger is related to fire, so therefore when a person gets angry, then the fire of Gehenna is much closer to him. Anyway, Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'hoser kas minibecha." The pasuk says, "Remove anger from your heart." V'haver ra mibsarecha, and remove evil from your flesh. So, what is evil? The en ra el gehenim. The word ra over here refers to gehenim. Shenema, kol paal Hashem mamaneu. As we find the pasuk, Hashem made everything for His own sake. V'gam rosha l'yem ra. Even the Rosha for the day of evil, in other words, that Hashem created, that the Ebishter created, a Gan Eden and a Gehenim, and the fact that the Rishoyim get what's coming to them, Gehenim, is all part of Hashem's plan for the world. And it shows people that Hashem is fair and that Hashem does, that Hashem rewards and punishes appropriately. So therefore, in other words, so what we see, the word L'yom Ra refers to Gehenim. I mean, there are many other explanations of the pasuk as well. The Alter Rebbe actually brings one in Tanya that it means we're talking about that Hashem created the Rosha, where Hashem doesn't create a person as a Rosha, tzaddik with Rosha like karma, but Hashem gave the possibility for there being a Rosha so that he does tshuva, and then he takes that yom ra and turns it into good. So with tshuva. But he was saying something else, that it means that if the Rosha doesn't do tshuva, he winds up in the Ra of Gehenim, and that itself is part of Hashem's plan and purpose for the world, that it makes that people realize how great Hashem is, that he rewards and punishes. Anyway, so we see that the V'haver Ra Mibsarecha therefore means, so now Shlomo is telling us, remove anger from your heart, and that way you will remove Ra Gehenim from your flesh. And Rabbi Yonasan continues, Shmuel ben Achmeni continues, V'loy oed ela shafachtonius shel v'sbay. Not only does a person suffer from Gehenim as a result of getting angry, but even he ends up suffering begashmius from tachtonius. Tachtonius is some kind of stomach troubles. Sometimes it means hemorrhoids, sometimes it means more general, some kind of indigestion or whatever. Shenemar, as we find a pasuk in the Tochacha, V'nosen Hashem l'cha sham lev ragaz, there in Golos Hashem will give you an angry heart, v'chilyen enayim, and disappointment of eyes, v'davin, or like failing eyes. In other words, Rashi explains in a number of places in Chumash that when the chilyen enayim means a person is looking forward with their eyes to something and it never happens, and they're deeply disappointed. V'davin nafesh, and a wearing away of the soul. So Ezehu Davish Machala Sainaim or Madivas Anefesh, what kind of physical ailment makes a person is looking forward to the end of it and disappointed and wears out his soul? Heavy Emazua Tachtonius. It means Tachtonius because it takes a long time, and the person is expecting for a long time. The Rosh explains, he's waiting, when is this already going to be over? And it's not, and it keeps on going, so he keeps on getting disappointed over and over. I thought it was gone already, and it's not. So therefore, so we see, and since the pasuk is associating with lev ragos, an angry heart, so we see when a person is angry, that has that consequence. Maharsha points out, now you can't say that lev ragos is part of the punishment, in other words, that Hashem has said that the pasuk is saying Hashem is going to make you more angry, because that's a midarah. Hashem's not going to give a person a midarah. So it means once the person has a midarah, that midarah of anger, then it results in this. Yeah. So in this connection of v'nosin Hashem l'chasham lev ragos, the Gemara brings a horrifying story, really. Ula, the meiske la'arad Yisrael, when Ula was going up to Eretz Yisrael, Ula was one of the chachamim, we used to travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Babel. So one time, when he was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, two people from Bei Chozoi came and joined him on the trip. Bei Chozoi is an area, nowadays it's in Iran, it's the part of Iran where they have all the oil fields near the Persian Gulf. Anyway, it was an area in the time of the Gemara, we find it mentioned all over Shas. It was like an outlying area above it, kind of. So now these two people are joining up with him, and they're all going to travel together. There's safety in numbers, after all. But at one point during the trip, one of them got up and killed the other one. There must have been some kind of fight, whatever it is. One of them was angry at the other and killed him. And Omale Ula, and then the killer says to Ula, Yo Sabdi, did I do good? Omale in. And Ula says, yes. Uprale Beis HaShchita. In fact, open up. Open up the Beis HaShchita. You cut his throat, open it up further. Now, how can Ula say such a thing? How can he tell a person you did good when he just did a horrifying Aveira? So there's a lot of different explanations. First of all, the Me'iri makes a point that the guy was already dead. So therefore, it doesn't matter if he opens up the Beis HaShchita, if he opens up the wound anymore, he's not going to be any more dead than he is now anyway. So therefore, to save his life, as the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines, Ula was allowed to do that. To tell him, in other words, the idea would be to tell him to kill the guy. Obviously not. You can't save your life at somebody else's expense. But the Me'iri learns the guy was already dead. Many other Mephoshim say that no, he wasn't quite dead. It's only that you're making him die faster. So the Tiferes Yisrael actually has a chiddush on it. He says, when we say you can't save yourself at the expense of somebody else's life, we're not talking over here when the guy is literally about to die anyhow. You know, the pralei beis hashchita is not really, it's going to make him die a few seconds faster than it otherwise would. And under normal circumstances, you would never be allowed to do that. But here, where it's a choice between, in other words, Ullah was concerned. No, in other words, Ullah was concerned that if he tells the guy, no, you did badly, then the guy's going to be so angry at him, he's going to kill him too. So therefore, so that might be a valid basis for him to in this case, to chan for the guy. Usually, by the way, we say you're not allowed to chan for the shoyim. You have in Sota, for example, the Gemara tells us about terrible consequences that came from them flattering Agrippas and telling him, you deserve to be king, Ochinuata, when in fact he didn't. So, but Tosfos actually distinguishes over there that in that case, their lives weren't in danger, whereas over here, Ullah's was. Anyways, there's a few different explanations how he could tell him that, but so there's two different aspects. To tell him that, yes, you did good as a matter of chanufa, again, to save his life, then he's allowed to do that. To tell him the prale beis hashchita, so then you have a couple of different explanations. Is it that the guy was already dead? Is it that he's not quite dead yet, but nevertheless, it's still, at that point, well, it's not suffering, but still, you're not allowed to necessarily shorten a person's life to avoid suffering. So you have for, you know, euthanasia, for example, they talk about when a person is suffering on his deathbed or whatever, you're not allowed up the halacha to kill him soon.
Pull the plug,
right.
There's no hospital here.
Right, but the point is, still, the guy could live a few extra seconds, so again, the Tiferes Yisrael says that usually we would say you can't save your life at somebody else's expense, but that would be different over here where the guy is about to die anyway. Anyway.
We don't know that. It's probably that he was dead.
You know, so the Meiri says he was already dead, yeah. Anyway, so, he also came to Rabbi Yochanan, so when Ullah eventually made it to Eretz Yisrael, and he came to see Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, he says, Domela, he says, Doma chas v'sholom achziki yedei over avera. Have I done something wrong? Did I encourage somebody who did a terrible avera by telling him you did good? Omala, he said, Rabbi Yochanan tells him it's not a problem, nafshecha hitzalta. You saved your own life, because in other words, yeah, usually you're not allowed to flatter a rosha and tell him you did good, but in this case it was to save your life, and therefore it was mutter. Now, Katoma Rabbi Yochanan, now that Rabbi Yochanan heard the story, though, he was very surprised that such a thing could happen in the first place. How does it come that one yid should get so angry at the other in Eretz Yisrael to kill that one yid should kill another yid? Yeah, this was all yidden, yeah. So Mechtiksev, after all, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk we just quoted from the Torah, V'nosen Hashem l'cha sham leiv ragos, the Pasuk says Hashem will give you an angry heart, but that's b'bavel, Ksev, that's talking about b'bavel, or other places in dollars. How does it come that in Eretz Yisrael, a yid should fall so low as to get angry at another yid and kill him? Amalei, so Ullah answers him, Hahu shaita lois loy avrin yardina. At that point, actually, we had not yet crossed the Yarden River, so we were actually not in Eretz Yisrael yet. So the Ran explains they were in Evra Yarden. The Ran explains that Evra Yarden does not have the full kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, for example, you can't bring the Omer from it, and there are various other aspects of kedusha that don't apply to Evra Yarden. There is a good deal of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim about the ins and outs of that. Is that in fact the case? Do the mitzvahs of Pluris Baritz apply in Evra Yarden? Can you bring the grain for the Omer or the Shteh Lechem from there? And so forth. So here the Ran is saying that not, therefore it has less kedusha, but there's a good deal of discussion about that. In any case, the point is that yes, so this Pasuk won't apply in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, a person has a special Siyata D'Shmaya to protect him, that he shouldn't possibly get that angry and kill a fellow Yid, but here we were outside Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore such things can happen. You actually find the Gemara in Makkos, for example, that says, "Begilad shchichi roitzkim." In Gilad, which is Evra Yarden, murderers were more common than in Eretz Yisrael proper. Therefore, the Gemara says over there they needed 3 Arim Miklat for only 2.5 Shvatim, whereas in Eretz Yisrael proper they needed 3 Arim Miklat for 9 Shvatim. So, similar idea. I mean, nowadays we're not on that level anyway. Unfortunately, we have people in Eretz Yisrael that are even more extremist than they are in other places. But in the no, it wasn't. Nobody said about Bishraga. The point is that the point is that in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan was saying we would expect that Hashem would help a person be able to overcome that Yetzirah of his, that he should never reach such a level of anger where he's going to kill somebody else. So when Ullah tells him it was in Chutz Laaretz, then Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, so now I understand why. Or not even Chutz Laaretz, but Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
There were more murderers outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, in other words.
But murderers don't go to
That's true. That's a good point. Deliberate murderers don't go to the Arei Miklat. Yeah, that's true. And Mefarshim do discuss that in connection with that Gemara and Makkos. One answer is that many times people would kill the Mezid but pretend like they did it B'Shoigig. They would set up the scenario so it would look like they did it B'Shoigig, and therefore they'd run off to the Arei Miklat. Besides which, also the halacha is actually that even a killer of a Mezid runs to the Arei Miklat first, then Based Din brings them from there and puts them on trial and sees what the situation was. Yeah. Okay. More on this matter of Kass. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Bar Avuna, Kol HaKoyis, a person who gets angry, Afilu Shechina Ein Chashuva Kenegdo. Even the Shechina doesn't count as anything before him. In other words, he thinks there's no Shechina in the world. Shenema, the passage says, Rosha Kegoiva Apoi, the Rosha at the height of his anger, Bal Yidrash, he thinks that Hashem does not look into what he's doing, Ein Elokim Komazi Moisav, his entire plots, his entire thoughts are that there's no God in the world. So again, like we said before, a person in that kind of situation thinks that Hashem is not running the world, and he thinks that Hashem is not around, that the Shekhinah doesn't count as anything, and Hashem isn't watching what he's doing. Rabbi Yirmi Abedifti says another point is a person who gets angry, he forgets his learning, and he increases his foolishness. Shenema, another pasuk says, Ki chas v'chek silim yanuach. You have a pasuk that says that anger rests in the bosom of fools. So we see, in other words, that the person who is angry is branded as still, as a fool, because he doesn't remember what he learned. Also, that's how the Ran explains it. The Rosh explains also what the Pasuk is implying. In other words, that what he's left with is only his anger, because his learning he forgets. So all he has left in his bosom, in his pocket, is his anger. Uchtiv, and you have another Pasuk, Uchsil Yifres Ivelis. Another Pasuk, also in Mishle, says the Ksil, the fool, spreads out before everybody his foolishness. So we see, in other words, that he not only forgets his learning, but he becomes foolish. Marsha explains the idea behind it is, a person retains their learning best when they learn b'chavrusa. When a person learns by himself, you want to mention in other places, it causes him to misunderstand and eventually to forget his learning. So now, when you have a person who's angry, nobody wants to learn with him. Therefore, he ends up forgetting his learning, and therefore he ends up becoming foolish, as our Gemara is saying. Rab Nachman Yitzchok says another thing about a person who gets angry. You can be sure that a person who gets angry like that has more averus than mitzvahs. Shenema uval chema rav posha, as the pasuk says, the person of anger is full of averus. So he's full of averus more than mitzvahs even. Those are all things that the Gemara is telling us to be careful about anger. Now the Gemara, though, on the other hand, is going to bring something else, not really, you know, sort of more distantly related to that, in a way that there can be a different kind of thing involving anger. Not the negative consequences of it that we're saying now, but rather something else involving Torah. Amr of Adar Rav Chanina. Yomalei loy chotu Yisrael. If the Jewish people had never sinned, and once they came into Eretz Yisrael, loy nitam lahem el chamisha chum shei Torah v'sefer Yeshua bovad. They would have been given only the five Chumashim plus Sefer Yoshua. All the other Sfarim after that, all the Jewish people did badly, and therefore it tells us what they did wrong, and then what needed to be done to correct it. Now Sefer Shoftim already starts talking about how they started assimilating with and intermarrying with the Canaanim, and you had over and over that hostile Goyim attacked them, and the Shoftim would come and save them. Mind you, I mean, the bad times doing Sefer Shoftim amount to only one third of the Sefer. If you look at the numbers over there, it comes out that two thirds of the times of the Shoftim, everybody was doing exactly what they should. But the point is, in other words, that one third that was no good, it wouldn't have had to be written if they hadn't done that. So if they hadn't done Averis, there would have been no need for Sefer Shoftim. And the same thing the other Sfarim of Tanakh, most of them talk about the things that the Jewish people did wrong and what the Nevi'im had to come and tell them off for it and so on and so forth. So in other words, what it would have been is everything else that we understand from the other Sfarim of Tanakh, we say, Lekha Midi the Lord of Mizi Barai. So there's nothing that's not hinted at in Torah Shebichsav. So therefore, we would have been able to learn it all from Torah Shebichsav. We would have been able to learn it all from the five Chumashim without needing any of the other Sfarim. It would have been all Torah Shebal Peh, and we would have learned it that way. Why Sefer Yehoshua? Because Sefer Yehoshua gives the borders and the territories of Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Yehoshua lists out in detail, this Shevet had these borders and these cities, and that Shevet had that one. So you need, that's an essential Sefer to have. So even if Lo Yichotu Yisrael, they still would have needed that. But the other Sfarim are there only because of the Chatoyim of the Jewish people. In a way, when you think of it, if you look at Sefer Yehoshua, actually, it kind of really—I mean, you end Chumash, you kind of have unfinished business over there. Hashem promised the Avos, and Hashem promised to Moshe Rabbeinu that He's going to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, and we end the Torah, and there's still an Eivra Yavin. Sefer Yehoshua finishes off the story and rounds it out and tells us how they tackle went into Eretz Yisrael and conquered it and settled it. Loi nafal davar echad mikol adavar atoiv. Not a single thing of all the good things that Hashem promised failed to come true. So Sefer Yehoshua kind of finishes off the story of Chumash, but here the Gemara is focusing mainly on that it tells us the actual territories and borders of the Shvatim. So that we would have needed regardless, but the other Sfarim we needed only because of the Chatoim of the Jewish people. What about Tehillim? That's a good question. I guess the answer would be that we wouldn't need, for example, that we should need David to be able to compose Pesukim for us that we should be able to use. We would be able to compose our own Tefillahs and our own things to Hashem. Al derech ha-kehav, for example, with Shemana Esrei, where the Rambam explains that during the time of the first Beis Mikdash, when a person has a mitzvah to daven, they would be able to daven with whatever words they made up on the spot. Only it came at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, and people don't know how to speak Lashon Kodesh anymore, and so forth, so then the Chachamim had to make a standard text. So the Pashtus with Tillim would be the same kind of thing. There are many sichas where the Rebbe talks about the idea. This is similar to the Luchas Rishonis versus the Luchas Shnius. The Luchas Rishonis, in a way, were a much higher level. They were the Luchas themselves were carved out by Hashem's own hands. The Jewish people were free of Averis and so forth. But then we have, ultimately, those were broken. And you have the Luchas Shnius together with the Luchas Shnius on a lower level. Moshe had to carve them out. Salacha. Only Hashem engraved them. But you have, along with it, comes the whole Torah Sheval Peh, Halachas, Va'agodis, and so forth, which we didn't have before. So in a similar vein over here, yes, we did badly, and the result is that now we have to have all these Sfarim of Tanakh. On the other hand, that's what we're saying. Like, in a way, there's a certain greater Mila that we have all of that written out for us. So he says, my timer, so why where do we get this from? Because the passage says, Ki beroiv chochma rov koas. With great chokhmah comes great anger. In other words, the chokhmah of the words of the Nevi'im that we learn and we delve into is because that shows the amount of caste, the amount that the Jewish people unfortunately angered Hashem and did Averis that resulted in these psukim and these sfarim having to be written. Okay, getting back now to matters of Nedarim and Shavuos. Amar Rav Asi, Ein Niskokin Lelekei Yisrael. We do not get involved to be matir. Here we're going to start talking about Shavuos. You asked before, what about Shavuos? We were saying before about the negativity of Nedarim. Now let's talk about Shavuos. If a person makes a Shavuah with the Loshen Lelekei Yisrael, in the name of Hashem, then Rav Asi says a Beis Din will not get involved in being matir such a Shavuah. You can be matir Shavuah normally, but not if he says Lelekei Yisrael. So one idea is, in other words, using Hashem's name. So there are a couple of reasons why the Ran says the reason is because of the chumrah of such a shvur. One explanation about that is if we matter such a shvur, then it comes out retroactively used Hashem's name in vain. Then the Rosh says the reason is because he had such chutzpah to use Hashem's name in his shvur, so therefore based on telling him a chutzpah niyak like you, we don't want to deal with, you're just going to have to fulfill your shvur. And then actually, the Ran brings another explanation. Actually, we don't mean specifically a Shavua using Hashem's name, any Shavua. According to the Ran's second explanation, Rav Asi is saying, Beis Din will never be involved in me matir a Shavua. Because a Shavua is more severe than a neder. Chutz mikoinam ishti nanisli, with the exception of the case where a man makes a koinam, a neder, that my wife should be also to have hana from me, should gonva as kisi, she hiksa as me, because she stole my money bag, or because she hit my son, the noida shalai gonva shalai katu, and it turns out in the end that she hadn't stolen it, or she hadn't hit him, so the whole neder was based on a mistaken premise. Now, many Rishonim take out that last line, because if we find that the neder was made on a mistaken premise, then you don't need that Taras Negadim. That was, we mentioned in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, at the beginning of our parah, we said that one of the types of things that's not considered a valid neder is Nidre Shgogos, where you didn't know the facts at the time, and this is an example of that. You didn't know the facts. He thought that his wife stole his money, and really she didn't. So you shouldn't need that Taras Negadim for that anyway. However, the Ran brings for the Rashba, that you could still have a case of mamid. You could have like this. He says, a koina, my wife should be also to have another for me. So they tell him, because she stole my money. So they tell him, don't. So then he finds afterwards she didn't actually steal it. But he says, you know what? I'm still mad at her. Even though she didn't steal it, I still want my neder to be in effect. So now, that's called mamid. So now,
that means to hold up.
Means that's to hold up, right. So it's a stand, and it's a stand on his original thing. So then we would still, then obviously we need our Tartus and Darim for that. So then we're saying that kind of thing we do have Tartus and Darim for. So in other words, the Rambam says, according to that, the reason why we matter such a thing is because you have two factors for the good. Number one, there's shalom bias involved. And number two, after all, it was a struggle. It was based on a mistaken premise in the first place. Anyway, there he wins from the Rashba, who goes on to say that, no, even if she did steal the money, he can still be matter neder. Just shalom bias is reason enough to be matter the neder. But again, many Rishonim do not, including the Rosh and others, do not have the Girsa, and Tosfos do not have the Girsa with the words, Benoida, that we find out that in fact it wasn't, just that he said, Koinam Ishti Nenes. He says, Koinam, my wife should not have enough for me. That kind of thing will be Matur Neder because of Sholem Bais. So the Gemara tells a case, Hahida Soy Lechamede Ravasi, there was a woman who came to Ravasi with a Neder, Omla B'mai Nedarut, he asked her, what did you make the Neder with? So she says, Belekei Yisrael, I said, in the name of Hashem, the God of the Jewish people. On the law, Rav Asi tells him, no good. Even a doubt with Moihi, if you had made a neder with Moihi, which we learned in the first parak is one of the kinuyim of a shvua, we said that Moihi can either mean, the Aramaic word for shvua is Moimosa, so Moihi can be like a slurring of that. Or we said the word Moihi can be a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu, so it means like the Shavua that Moshe took to Yisrael, that he wouldn't leave Midian without his permission. So if you would use a kinui like that, so kinui ba'alma, where after all the word Moihi is only a kinui, Mizda Kiknalach, then I would get involved and I would try to be Matu Nebuk. Hashtag, you learn a direct from Moihi, but now that you didn't use even a kinui like Moihi, you went all the way elevated, like Kei Yisrael, you went so far as to use a Kei Yisrael, I'm not getting involved with you, tough luck, you're going to have to fulfill your neder or your shua. I, making a neder and fulfilling it is no good, like we said on Amud Aleph, but she had no business using the Kei Yisrael, so either, again, we don't want to be matter it, because it's a very severe kind of shavua, and because it may make that retroactively it means that she was motzi shem shemayim levatala, or like the Ran says, it can mean any shavua is serious enough that you're not matter it, or like the Rosh says specifically over here, because she had the chutzpah to use Hashem's name in her shavua.
Question: she understood the severity of
it. Sure, did she understand? And I guess Rav Asi had to make sure to explain to her this. Yeah. Another example: Rav Kahana ikla lebei Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana one time visited Rav Yosef's house. So Rav Yosef invites Rav Kahana to eat something. And Rav Kahana says, no. He says, loy, I don't want to eat anything. And he swears, mori kula loy te'im nale. I swear by the master of all that I won't taste anything of Rav Yosef's. So Rav Yosef answers him. He says, "Loi mori kula loi ta'amfale." Yes, or no. By the master of all, you won't taste anything of his. So what is Rav Yosef saying? Is he confirming Rav Kahana's shvua? Why does he need to? Once Rav Kahana made the shvua that he's not gonna eat anything of Rav Yosef, then Rav Yosef doesn't have to answer anything. So Hanichal Rav Kahana to Amal loi mori kula. We understand Rav Kahana is saying he doesn't want to have anything from. He doesn't want to have anything of Rav Yosef's. So we understand what he was saying. What does Rav Yosef mean by saying the same shavua again? Why does he need to make his own shavua to confirm what Rav Kahana is saying? And the answer, once Rav Kahana said it, then Rav Yosef does not have to tell him a neder that you should not be allowed to eat. So the answer is hachi kamale, hachi hu dekamale. It means that Rav Yosef is saying like this: loy mori kula hu dekamre. Isn't it true that you said mori kula? Therefore, you're not going to be able to taste my food. And in fact, don't even think, Rav Kahana, that you're going to be able to go be matur neder afterwards, because once you said morei kula, that's the equivalent of saying Vele Kei Yisrael, and therefore then nobody's going to be matur your neder. So that's it. You're stuck. More on this topic of Ataras and Darim. Amar Rava, Amar Nachman, the halacha is actually not. Now, we started the discussion, we started the sugya asking, can you use charota to be matir and neder, or do you need specifically Pesach? So we had different opinions. We had some Tanoim and some Amiroim who said you cannot use charota, you must use Pesach. And then we had others saying that you can use charota as well. We said charota is weaker in a way, because Pesach means once the person realizes the consequences of his neder, then it means the whole neder was based on a mistaken premise. As opposed to charota, even if it is charota meikara, it's really more, it's not that the neder was based on a mistaken premise, it's just I was too hasty to make that neder. I was in a bad mood or whatever. So therefore, Pesach is better. So now, Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman, Huchsa Poskin B'Charota, the bottom line halacha is, you can use Charota as a basis for being Matir Neder. You don't davka need a Pesach. V'niz Kokin, by the Kei Yisrael, and also, you can even be Matir Neder, even when the person said by the Kei Yisrael, that you can in fact be Matir such a Neder. Not like Rav Asi was just saying that you can't, or like Rav Yosef was saying that you can't. The halacha is Rava is saying, in fact, you could be Matir even such a Neder. With that said, the Ran brings over here from various Gaonim who say that there are certain kinds of ones that you cannot be. So first the Ran says that even if a person swore by a Sefer Torah, or he brings from one of the Gaonim who first said that if a person were to swear by a Sefer Torah or by the Aseres Hadibros, you can't be matter him. The Ran disagrees with that. He says you could even be matter such a thing. However, then he goes on to bring from various Gaonim, he brings from Rabbi Hai Gaon, who says that even though the Gemara is saying over here, you can use Harota to be matter and neder, we're going to be Mahmer and not do that. He says that we said at the beginning of the sugya, we said Rav Asi had said you can only be matir with Pesach, not Charota. And then he says, so the Ran brings from Rav Hai Gon, who says that number one, we're going to do that. We cannot, even though the Gemara is saying over here you could use Charota, we're not going to allow that. We're going to require Pesach, which is why, like I was saying before, in Shulchan Aruch it says that in order to be choshesh for Rav Hai Gon's opinion is why we make the Charota itself into a Pesach. We ask the person, if you realize when you made the neder that you're likely to regret it in Eikara, would you have made the neder? And then that itself forms a valid Pesach, because that itself is a consequence of the neder that he didn't think of. Also, then he goes on to say from Rav Hai Gon that when it comes to Shavuos, we don't get involved in being matir neder them at all, unless there's some kind of takana. For example, shalom ben ish l'ishta, like we said before, where a man puts his wife under a shvua, or for example, a mitzvah, or the shalom of the tzibur, or whatever. Then those kinds of things we can be matir shavuos. But even then we need a strong pesach, not some kind of weak charota or things like that. Then he goes on to say, then he brings another opinion from Rabbi Yehuda al-Bar Galoni, one of the early Rishonim, who in turn brings from Rabbi Yehudoi Goin, the author of Halachas Gdolos, who's even more machmer. He says that even Nedarim, we should be matter only for a Dvar Mitzvah. We've talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, actually, that it's brought that in the yeshivas of the Gaonim, for the most part, they did not learn Masechta Nedarim at all, which is one reason that's given why Lashon Nedarim Mishuna, because they didn't copy it out as much. And the idea being, apparently, in Bavel at that time, people were getting very, very careless with Nedarim and Shavuos. So therefore, the Chachamim of that time, the Gaonim, had to take a very hard stand on it because in order to prevent people from thinking that they can get away with Nedarim and Shavuos. So basically, so Poskim say it kind of ends up being on a case-by-case basis. What's allowed and what's not allowed in a particular place in terms of being Matir, Nedarim and Shavuos, it really all depends what the local Rav perceives as what's going on in the community, whether it's the kind of place where people are just making Shavuos and Nedarim right and left, and then you have to take a harder line on them, versus if they're not, and then you can use the various things that we're saying in the Gemara over here, use Harota and Matu, even things Be'elekei Yisrael, and so on and so forth. So it all depends on that. We mentioned also at the beginning of the Masechta that that's why when the Tefillah Kol Nidre first came out, a number of the Goyim were very against it. Because again, the same idea. What are we doing being Matir Nedarim when we're saying we don't want to be Matir Neder? Well, unless it's for a Dvar Mitzvah or something. Eventually, over time, it became accepted. But even then, Rabbi Natan changed it. We're going to talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, actually, the matter of a person making a T'nai ahead of time to be Mevatel as Nedarim in advance. Rabbi Natan held that is what Kol Nidre is all about. It's not about being Matir your Nedarim of the previous year. The way that we do Kol Nidre, the Chazan standing over there, and everybody saying it with him, is not a valid form of Ataras Nedarim. Rather, he says it's meant to be to pre-cancel your Nedarim for the coming year, which we're going to talk about that in more detail in tomorrow's Gemara, Bez Hashem, in connection with the next Mishnah.
We'll get an idea of why it's so important to say that.
Well, we get an idea of why Kol Nidre is so important. I mean, you know, there are Ramazim and things in it. I mean, the simple reason is just because it's the first tefillah that we say on Yom Kippur, and therefore, you know, obviously everybody's in a frame of mind for Yom Kippur. The Pashtus, if we said some other tefillah at that point, then that one would be considered very important to people. But, you know, there are different Ramazim about it. There's an idea, for example, that they say that there's a Gemara in Bava Basra based on Pesukim that implies that Hashem swore to send us into Golos, and therefore when we're saying that we want to be Matu on Nedarim in advance or whatever, we're like hinting to Hashem that He should be Matu that Neder and take us out of Golos. So there are different Ramazim in it, but basically what it is just because it happens to be the first tefillah that goes into Yom Kippur, therefore people treat it very stringently. Yeah, but we'll talk about that more tomorrow, Hashem. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.